You're listening to Drop of Inspiration, a Young Living podcast. Join me for leadership lessons, conversations with Young Living influencers, and an inside perspective on our company. I'm your host, Trent Morrison. Let's get inspired.
Dr. Mike Book joins us on this episode of Drop of Inspiration. We're going to be covering a lot in this episode, so grab a pencil and paper or pull out your tablet and get ready for a lot of great information. Stick around during this episode because we're also hearing some product information from our training and education team that's going to make sharing YL even easier. All right, let's jump in. We'll be talking about Mike's background, some of the processes of Young Living, and asking questions that a lot of our members have been asking.
So first off, congrats on being Young Living's first Chief Science Officer. And, you know, I want to give you a moment to, you know, talk about, you know, where you come from, introduce yourself, your background, and, you know, just kind of your Young Living aha moment. I've asked a lot of my guests kind of what made, you know, their Young Living experience so far. So, what drew to Young Living and what's your background in?
Well, first of all, thank you. It's really interesting. I've always been interested in science, and I think it was because my father was a chemist.
Okay.
So I always had sort of I felt a pull towards science. And growing up where I did in rural Pennsylvania, I actually grew up in Amish country.
Wow.
I always felt very close to nature. And there, in that part of the country, there are a lot of sort of holistic natural remedies that get passed around through the generations. And so I've always had an interest in that. And as I got into science, I never really lost that. And when I finished my PhD work at the University of Delaware, I was looking for the best place where I could learn the most science and hopefully apply it to helping people. Yeah. And so I went into what I guess a lot of our members think is kind of the big evil pharma industry. But, you know, I did it with an open mind, thinking that it would be a good place to help people. And quite frankly, as a scientist, there's probably no better place to be than the pharmaceutical industry, because they're incredibly well-funded, and you're surrounded by excellent, excellent scientists. I had the pleasure of working with several Nobel laureates, for example, in big pharma. So it's a great place to learn. As I sort of moved through the ranks in big pharma, I tried on numerous occasions to bring natural products into the industry. And surprisingly, there are a lot of people in big pharma that really would like to have natural products in the industry. Sure. But usually what stops it, and what stopped it every time in my particular case, was money. Those companies are just so large that they won't launch a product if their analysis shows that it will sell less than $1 billion the first year after launch. Oh. And so we were sitting on lots of really interesting scientific work in the natural remedies area that the companies just refused to move forward with because of the investment required. They said the return on investment was too small at only $1 billion. Amazing, isn't it? It is interesting, though. One of the first things that I did when I came out of graduate school was work at a company that made Listerine. And I was actually in charge of the group that reformulated a lot of the old-fashioned Listerine products. And I don't know if many members know this, but the four active ingredients that are in Listerine are all essential oils.
Really?
So that was years ago when I started working on essential oils. I really got interested in it at that point. And we did some fantastic scientific research that showed exactly how and why those oils were working. So when the opportunity finally arrived at Young Living, and I came out here and I started talking to the senior executives that were here, I think the first aha moment I actually had was my first introduction to Gary Young.
Okay.
And we sat down, it was actually over dinner, and Mary and Gary and my wife and I had dinner together. And, you know, I was kind of nervous, obviously, meeting the owner of the company. I wanted to make a good impression. And I was all prepared in my mind to do an interview. So I had all of my answers already worked out to every single question I thought Gary would ever ask.
And everything.
Absolutely. And Gary walked in and I shook his hand and we started talking, and it never got to an interview. Gary and I just started brainstorming on ideas and products. And that was my aha when I said, wow, this guy is really passionate and he thinks a lot the way I do. Everything was about what can we do to improve this? How can we change this? Yeah. What can we do next? Where's the industry going? And that was my first aha moment. The second aha moment happened the very next day when I saw the farm. And when I saw the farm at Mona, that's when I decided that I want this job. And I decided that I would really accept it, because the farms are just the beating heart of the company. Yeah. And when you see that, it's just so real. And you see the plants, and you see the plants going into the still, and you see the oil coming out of the still. And at that point, I knew this place was really, really special.
So I've heard between, everyone at Young Living, you, Gary, the Scientific Advisory Council, there's something like 180 years or, just of scientific knowledge and expertise. You know, what is it like to have a team and, be with Gary and have that, those opportunities to kind of share, like you mentioned?
Well, it's absolutely fantastic. That 180 years figure actually comes from just the analytical scientists.
Oh, really?
In R&D. I think 175 of them are me, but that's, seriously, we've got a lot of experience in analytical chemistry, and in particular chromatography, and in the methodology that's used to analyze oils. And so just one day for fun, we kind of added up the total number of years, and it came to a little more than 180. Overall in R&D, there's many, many, many more years than that. And it is fantastic working with people with that kind of experience, because I can come in with a different perspective, and they can come in with sort of the historical perspective on how we've done things. And when you bring those two together, everything's just looking up right now. We're really making great progress on our science.
So as you guys are, creating and, using your resources and, the collective brain power, what would you say if, someone's trying to kind of break into getting, some science-based research for themselves, really trying to understand essential oils, how can people kind of explain the science or where some good places to start looking for some stuff?
The first thing I will do is caution everyone, because the science is extremely complex, and sort of the tendency is to oversimplify things.
Okay.
And I find myself doing that too, just in normal conversation. But every essential oil will have anywhere from 100 to maybe 400, even 500 different chemical compounds in it.
Wow.
And so these things are incredibly complex. So it's very important that, when you read things about essential oils, if there is something that's a little bit confusing, ask the experts, okay? Mm-hmm. Having said that, there's some great information out there. As a scientist, I tend to go to the peer-reviewed scientific journals, and you can find them listed in something called PubMed, which is online. It's public medicine, and it's an online search engine that will allow you to search for particular topics within the scientifically peer-reviewed journals that are out there. It is very important, though, that you have to have an understanding of what you read, because those journals toss around a lot of big terms and a lot of big words, and it can be very confusing. So I get questions all the time from people saying, there's a word in there I can't pronounce, isn't it toxic? And I read somewhere where something is toxic. And quite frankly, yes, it could be toxic if you drink 40 gallons of it.
Sure.
But if you kind of understand how things are combined in nature, you'll often find out that some of those highly toxic things aren't really so toxic. And in fact, they occur naturally. One of the funniest things I ever did, I gave a presentation a few months ago where I listed the ingredients that were in organic blueberries.
Okay.
And when you list out the ingredients in organic blueberries as the chemical names, everyone, without knowing they were blueberries, I showed the list of ingredients. Everyone said, oh, I'd never get near that. It's horrible. And when I showed them it was just blueberries, they were amazed. So you have to apply some knowledge to some of these PubMed articles. You have to be a little bit careful. So I encourage people to ask questions if they read an article. Give me a, shoot me an email. Let me know. People are always welcome to call through the Diamond numbers or the various help numbers that we have at Young Living with questions, and those get fed through directly to me or to someone in R&D, and we do our best to get back to them in a timely manner.
So, you're newer to Young Living, but, Young Living has been doing a really great job of looking for compliant ways to share products that we love. Can you walk us through what the process of what it takes to make a claim compliant with the FDA?
Yeah, unfortunately, there's not a specific process.
Oh, okay.
So you can't kind of do one step one, two, and three. What it takes is a really, I hate to use this term here, but I'll say a well-oiled machine, essential oiled machine, of people who really understand FDA and how FDA thinks and understands all of the information that FDA provides. Believe it or not, FDA can be very helpful.
Yeah.
They actually provide a lot of information to the general public and to those of us who are in industry. And they, for example, publish guidelines within which we can work to make claims.
Oh, great.
They tend to categorize products into certain areas. So there are cosmetic products, which are less regulated. Then there are supplement products, which are more regulated. And then the most regulated products are what we would call drugs or medicines. Mm. And within each of those categories, there's actually different ways of getting your claims either approved or claims that have already been sanctioned previously by FDA and working within their guidelines. So unfortunately, I don't have a set answer for you, but it takes a team of scientists, regulatory specialists, and attorneys, quite frankly, to interpret all of the rules and regulations.
So, Mike, we recently asked some Young Living members and employees the science questions that they have, and, you know, I want to kind of jump into some of those and give you an opportunity to answer those and answer some of those questions. So the first one was, you know, why and how do essential oils work with our cells and our bodies as a whole?
Yeah, that's a really difficult question simply because, as I said before, there are so many compounds in each oil, and then there are so many oils, and then there are so many different systems in our bodies. So it's really difficult to generalize this type of a thing, but you know, I can give you a few thoughts. The first is that essential oils are in the plants to serve a function, usually a protective function or you know, helping the plant to survive somehow. Either upregulating mechanisms for nutrient intake and things like that. Those functions are similar in our own bodies because the cells are not that dissimilar from plants to humans, believe it or not.
Oh, wow.
And so these oils contain compounds that work synergistically to provide some very significant benefits to various systems within our body. They're all different. So some oils will actually be applied topically and penetrate through the skin and get into various systems that way. Other oils, of course, are ingested and go into systems through a more common ingestion route. And then the ones that intrigue me the most, actually, are the oils that are inhaled, because they actually bind at specific receptors in the nose, which can then trigger nerves to send signals to the brain or to other parts of the body. And some of those receptors are the typical smell receptors that one would expect in the nose, but there are other receptors all through your face and in the nasal cavity that are called trigeminal receptors that have nerves that go completely different places. And it's really fascinating to see what happens when certain compounds bind at receptors on those trigeminal nerves. And they create all sorts of signals to your body that's really fascinating, and we're only now beginning to understand exactly how that works.
So the next one we have is, do oil-infused supplements help vitamins absorb into the body better?
I'm not trying to be evasive, but it depends. Some vitamins are oil-soluble, and therefore, vitamin E, for example, is oil-soluble.
Okay.
Therefore, the oil-soluble vitamins are generally helped by oils because it helps make them more bioavailable. It helps them penetrate the tissues and get into your body. Water-soluble vitamins, on the other hand, are not aided very much by oils in terms of solubility. However, there can be compounds in the oils that work synergistically in your body systems to help those vitamins actually be more effective.
We're going to take a quick break to learn from our fabulous training and education team.
Hey everyone, it's Haley Jensen with the training and education team. We're here today to talk about Sleek Shake. Sleek Shake is a complete meal replacement that provides quick, satisfying, and delicious nutrition. Formulated with Sleek Essence essential oil, this shake may support healthy weight management when combined with regular exercise and a sensible diet. Sleek Shake is amazing because it is a vegan alternative to most protein shakes and meal replacements that use whey for their protein source. Sleek Shake relies entirely on plant-based ingredients like pea protein and pumpkin seed protein. Quinoa, wolf bear, and alfalfa grass make this an excellent source of protein and fiber. Sleek Shake also includes a fruit and vegetable blend that provides essential vitamin and minerals that many meal replacements don't offer. It's a good source of potassium, folate, vitamin C, and B vitamins. It's also rich in phosphorus, iodine, magnesium, zinc, selenium, copper, iron, and niacin. This vegan formula contains no artificial colors, no artificial flavors, no preservatives, or GMO ingredients. Sleek Shake is sweetened with organic stevia, organic coconut palm sugar, wolfberries, and strawberries. My favorite way to drink Sleek Shake is to mix it with a half a cup of unsweetened vanilla almond milk, one packet of Nature Red, and then one drop of Grapefruit Vitality. Hope you enjoy this product.
All right, welcome back, everyone. We're sitting down with Mike Book, Young Living's Chief Science Officer. Kind of transitioning over to, you know, more of Young Living, I guess, is what's kind of the science or, you know, the broad stroke art of creating an essential oil blend? Do you kind of want to quickly walk us through what, you know, it looks like to create a new blend?
Well, again, Gary's the absolute world expert on this. So it's dangerous for me to try to put Gary's feelings out there, but I can tell you what Gary's taught me so far.
Yeah, please.
And that is that generally for a blend, we start with a goal in mind, what we want the blend to accomplish. And then you select your base oils for that blend based on what those oils provide towards that goal. So for example, if you want an oil to be soothing or help you sleep or something like that, you choose the particular oil with the compounds in it that we know have those effects. Then what Gary taught me is that after you have sort of that base created, you start to add other oils to optimize the organoleptic characteristics of the blend. And what I mean by that is the smell and the flavor and sort of the application, how it may feel on the skin as well. So you start to then add other things that help to possibly round the oil. And by rounding, I mean it takes sort of a sharp note off of the fragrance, for example. Or you can add particular oils that have more volatile compounds, so they tend to lift the fragrance out of the oils or lift the fragrance notes. Or you may want to do just the opposite and sort of dampen the oil just a bit. And this is where it really becomes as much of an art as a science. And this is where Gary's years of experience just can't be beat. And it's a lot of fun watching him do this in the lab. And he explains what he's doing. And sometimes I think he's just kind of psychic because it just happens.
Yeah. Kind of the next step, right, is kind of testing those blends or, you know, just in general. What type of testing does Young Living do? You know, and how is that different to other companies? And you know, for you, what's the most exciting of the testing processes?
We do more testing than anyone else in the industry by far. And I think many of our members already know the types of testing we do to ensure our quality. So we'll do all sorts of chemical analyses. For example, we'll do the things that most people have heard of, like GCMS, which allows us to separate an oil into its basic molecular components and essentially take we can take a look at every single component in an oil to make sure that they're in there at the right ratio and to ensure that the oil was harvested from the plant at the right life stage of the plant to provide the most benefits and to make sure that it was distilled properly and that it was handled properly. So we do a lot of that kind of work. We take it a step further. We actually do a lot of infrared spectroscopy work, which allows us to measure the chemical bonds in the molecules of those compounds. So now not only do we know what compounds are in the oil, but we know how things are bound together. And that gives us a lot of information on, again, the quality of the oil and the benefits that the oil will provide. It also gives us a really good indication of how pure that oil is. And purity is a term that's tossed around a lot, but it has actually several definitions in my mind. One of the things that we want to make sure of is that there's no water in the oil, that these oils are 100% oil. And, you know, there's always a chance that oil could end up in that water could end up in an oil because they're distilled with water.
Sure.
So we have to just make sure that they've been cleanly separated after the distillation. And so we test that analytically to make sure there's no water in there, which can dilute out the good effects of the oils. The other thing that can happen to oils, of course, is if you get an unscrupulous supplier, they can have synthetic materials in there. And synthetics are tempting for people to put into oils because they're cheaper. And so you can save a lot of money by substituting or adding synthetics to oils. The third thing we look for is just to make sure it's the correct oil. We have found on occasion oils that have been adulterated or contaminated, I should say, with the wrong plant oil. So they may have been harvested accidentally with another plant and the whole thing was distilled together. Or, you know, the more dubious thing is that some suppliers will try to put in a cheaper plant, again, just to save money to cut the oil. So we do a lot of testing in those regards. We actually have the ability to do some tests that none of our competitors can do. And one of the instruments that we have here and the expertise we have here that I'm very proud of is called IRMS, and it stands for Isotope Ratio Mass Spectrometry. And it allows us to actually measure particular isotopes in the oils that should be there from the plants from which the oils were derived. And if we find out that a ratio of isotopes doesn't match what the plant should have, we immediately know that there's something wrong. It's either the wrong plant or it's a synthetic. And then we can start to take apart the oil analytically to see exactly what has been added to it. So that's something that no one else does. No one else has that piece of equipment. There's only, there's probably less than 500 instruments like that in all of North America. And all of the other instruments are in academic research institutes. And that's mainly because, quite frankly, they're expensive instruments, but also they require a huge investment in training for people to learn how to operate the instrument. And generally, it takes about 2 years of training, really, to learn how to operate that instrument. So we have those people, we have the instruments. We also have collaborators outside of Young Living that we can send samples to confirm our own results, which is very helpful as well.
So, Mike, I know a lot of people were really excited when you joined Gary and Jared on stage to introduce over-the-counter Young Living products. And this is a pretty big deal in our industry. You know, we've heard a lot about it, and there's a lot of excitement about it. Can you kind of talk about what this means for us, you know, what the process was, how we got there, and maybe where OTC might be going?
Yeah, first of all, let me say no one was more excited than I.
Yeah.
I was really excited. I was really pleased that we were able to do this. It was really, really fun to do this kind of work and to bring it to Young Living. What it actually means is that we were able to analyze all of the FDA documents. And some of these documents go back 30, 40 years. There's been a lot of history here in the OTC realm within FDA. And they have these documents that are called OTC monographs. And the monographs are essentially guidelines of specific ingredients used at specific concentrations and delivered in specific ways. So what I mean by that is, as an example, you can have menthol, which of course is a major component of peppermint oil. And FDA only talks about components. They don't talk about whole oils. They tend to think in terms of single chemical entities. So in the OTC monograph, they will list menthol, and they will say it has to be between a certain concentration range.
Okay.
And then they will say, if it's within that range, it has been proven and FDA recognizes that you can make antitussive claims on it, which are cough claims, but only if it's delivered in a particular format. So I can't make a chewing gum with menthol in it and call it a cough product. It has to be in an FDA recognized tested format, so a lozenge or liquid in that particular case. So what we did was we had our team sit down, go through all of the monographs, see what was permitted by FDA, and then see how we could deliver on those monographs using all natural products. And, you know, it was a lot of fun because as you start to look at some of these oils, you can find that they have very high levels of some of the natural ingredients that FDA has already approved. Yeah. And then it's just a matter of formulating them into a format where they're in the product at the proper concentration and they're being used and delivered the right way. Once you do that, you're then free to use the pre-drafted claims that FDA has already said. So that's a horrible way of saying that. You're free to use the claims that FDA has already allowed. So you can say things like cough. You can say on other monographs there are specific claims around pain relief, and that's how we got into the Cool Azul pain relief cream. But you have to learn how to sort of work within their guidelines and then use naturals to deliver it.
So where do you kind of picture OTC going for Young Living?
I see Young Living doing more OTC products in the future. I see Young Living utilizing our expertise to deliver on OTC claims that I don't think other companies are capable of doing in the essential oils industry. Because we now are at that crossroads where we're talking about natural wellness crossing into what FDA would call medicines. And it requires a lot of expertise to make sure that we're actually talking or utilizing the ingredients in a way that FDA allows and still ensuring that they're meeting our really, really rigorous standards of natural and pure. So I see OTC as an ongoing effort here. We've got our R&D team focused on a number of other opportunities that we think may be available within OTC. I see us pushing the limits here in terms of our claims. And I think this is a fantastic way to really give our members their voices back, because we'll be able to actually talk about some serious medicinal claims by providing some serious medicines that are still those essential oil-based all-natural products that Young Living has become famous for.
So along those lines, you know, what do you think the future of essential oil research is? You know, you kind of mentioned you love research, you have a lot of expertise in that area. How does that come into play?
One of the things that drew me here, actually, is the fact that there is so little known about essential oils. This is really exciting for us because almost everything we discover every day is a new discovery with essential oils. And so, you know, I think the future of research is really simply doing more research. It's that simple. We're making new discoveries every day. We're finding out that certain compounds exist in oils that we didn't know existed before. We're finding new oils every day. Gary's continuing to travel the world and bring us new plants and new species and new oils. These things are incredibly exciting in terms of what they bring to us, but it's also really exciting for us to apply new technologies to prove what's in those oils. And one of the things that I spoke about at convention is the fact that our R&D team is focused very heavily on delivering visuals of our research. So it's the old thing, if you know, it's a picture is worth a thousand words. And if we can generate pictures that actually are showing scientifically what our products do, I think that's incredibly powerful, not only for us to understand, but again, for our members to use as part of their voice.
Well, thanks for taking time. And you know, as we wrap up, I want to give you an opportunity, if you have any advice for members, you know, if you have anything you'd like to say, you know, I just want to give you a moment to kind of speak.
Well, you know, far be it to me to give advice to members. I think most of our members are doing a great job here. The only thing I would remind them of is to watch this space, because we are generating more and more new claims. And you're going to see some really exciting things happen this year, I think, with new products as well as new claims on some of our existing products. No one really comes close to our science in the essential oil field, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. This team is absolutely the best in the industry, and we're getting better every day. We've now split R&D in half so we can focus part of that team on nothing but new product development, working closely with Gary.
Cool.
And the other half of that team focuses on nothing but research. And it's just constantly probing the scientific literature and analyzing our own materials to see what we can learn and generate those new claims. So it's a really exciting place to be. Watch this space.
Cool. Well, again, Mike, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
A huge shout out to Mike for joining us for this great conversation. Whether you're just starting on your journey of research or you've been studying for years, you can always find new ways to understand and share. Speaking of sharing, have you left a review for Drop of Inspiration yet? The more reviews we get, the more people see the podcast, which means more opportunities to share what you've learned. In your favorite podcast app, look up Drop of Inspiration, hit subscribe, and leave us a review. We want to hear from you. And don't forget to send your favorite episodes to your team, friends, and family to start some conversations. Thanks for joining us on Drop of Inspiration, a Young Living podcast. I'm your host, Trent Morrison. Until next time.